Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
Only on Project Nerd.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast, brought to you by Project Nerd. It is a very special day because it is the highly anticipated return of everyone's favorite version of the Nerdcast, which is the TNA show.
Man, you ain't joking there, buddy.
As you can tell,
on, Tyler,
that's my dear friend Adam, and I'm Tyler, and we're the only two here today. So it's just going to be the TNA show, which is starring the two most talented and reasonable people on the Nerdcast, I would say, without a doubt.
That's probably right. Yeah. It's hard saying you're one of the most reasonable people.
Listen, look, I mean, look at Iggy. I mean, come on. I love that beautiful man, but some days.
As I started saying it, I realized the bar wasn't very high to be to be in the top two there. That's true.
But we have a special Christmas delivery for all of you, and that is this episode will be all Star Wars all the time. We will disclaimer everything from this point forward with the fact, though, if you have not seen Star Wars Rise of Skywalker yet, please turn off this podcast and save it until after you have. We will spoil everything.
Yeah, that's reasonable, I think. But I mean, honestly, I can't imagine there's anybody listening to the Nerdcast who wouldn't go see Rise of Skywalker.
Life happens, man. I didn't get to see. I had tickets to see it Thursday, and ended up not seeing it until Saturday because of, you know, just life in general.
Things
happen. Okay. But if you made it a full 4 days, not seeing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, you need to stop now and move on.
Get yourself an early Christmas present. Watch the Rise of Skywalker, and then come listen to us and for your full Christmas present.
There you go. But last warning, beyond this point, there be spoilers. With that said, Adam, you want to talk about some Star Wars?
Hell to the yes. I want to talk about some Star Wars. So the wife and I went to a big giant theater. So there's a theater here in the UK called Cineworld. I don't know if they have them in the States. Never where I've lived, so maybe. And they do a thing called the Super Screen. So it's not IMAX. It's not full IMAX giantness, but it is a huge screen. Like when they say super screen, they're not kidding. I mean, there were probably 30, 35 seats across and then like A to Z. I mean, it's a huge place, huge auditorium, huge screen, full Dolby Atmos. And we did triple feature of 7, 8, and 9. So Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and then The Rise of Skywalker. It's about a 440-minute runtime. Started at 6 o'clock. We got it on Thursday. So started 6 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon and finished 2:30, 2:45 Thursday morning.
How much time between each movie?
You got about 20 or 30 minutes between Force Awakens and Last Jedi, and then about 40 minutes before the preview started so that the movie was rolling just after midnight.
Awesome. Like, I feel like that gives you an even interesting insight on the movie because I definitely did not rewatch either of them recently. I didn't rewatch either of them in the days and weeks leading up to seeing this one. So you saw each piece immediately all together as one coherent.
Yeah, as coherent as a story as that can tell, right?
Okay. So I guess we might as well, before we get into specific spoilers, good things, bad things, whatever, I'm not going to put you on the spot with like a letter grade or a number grade, but generally speaking, how do you feel?
Oh God, I enjoyed the hell out of it. The kind of spectacle and the scope. And I loved getting into a little more of the lore that's been out there about the unexplored regions and things like that. Like, I thought it was great. I found myself just smiling a lot, which as a Star Wars fan was exactly what I wanted. I loved it.
And then secondary question, how would you rank it of the three of the new trilogy?
Of the new trilogy, it's going to be real hard. I feel like this is the kind of problem when you try to rank any of the Star Wars movies is like The Force Awakens was so much better than the prequel trilogy. I've been getting kind of a new appreciation for the prequel trilogy for what it is and being less snobby about my Star Wars. So, but The Force Awakens was so much better. So seeing that in the theater, and as good as it was and as exciting as it was and as well done and as much as a, I thought, really, really, really good reintroduction to Star Wars, it'd be hard to say something's better than that, but I probably enjoyed it more than that one. Now, I saw The Force Awakens 4 times in 2 weeks, I think. We were already planning to go see Rise of Skywalker tomorrow on Monday. That same theater that had the big giant screen, they do 4DX here, so it's got like the moving seats and, you know, like sprays wind and water and stuff like that, and huge IMAX screen and everything. So we're gonna go do that. That should be pretty fun, kind of a neat way to see it. But I don't know if I could rank them. I don't want to. I'm not going to. You can't make me.
That's fair. So before we get into it, I'll do mine. I thought it was fine. I don't hate it. I think there are parts of it that are pretty bad, but there's also some parts of it that are really good. But as a whole, it was fine. But then also, I think we also come into this at a different footing because I really love The Last Jedi, and I know that it was not your favorite movie of all time.
Oh, no, I like The Last Jedi a lot.
Yeah.
I think The Last Jedi was the most interesting
of
the three, for sure, because it introduced some amazing questions in terms of Force ghosts and what their reality is in the world.
Okay.
I think it brought up some really interesting questions in terms of that could potentially change the outlook of the original trilogy. Like, how strong is Luke Skywalker?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see Luke do a lot of really amazing Jedi type stuff at all. Like, at all. Like, his claim, like, the best thing he did is shoot the missiles that blow up the first Death Star and hit a very small area. But with The Last Jedi, we see Force ghosts interacting with the world. And we know Obi-Wan Kenobi was there because he was talking to Luke. So does he influence the missiles? Does he help him get in? You know, you get some questions there at least. But I don't understand your hesitance to say, like, did you enjoy it?
There were definitely times where I really enjoyed myself and got caught up in the spectacle, but I don't know how much of that is the huge chunk of my life I've spent invested in Star Wars. And like, there were some very fan servicey moments that you just can't get past, or some moments that were just the spectacle of them was good. But there was also just big chunks of it where, I don't know, I feel like JJ did a really good job with The Force Awakens, but it was also 100% in his wheelhouse. He got to lean on his favorite crutch, which is exploiting nostalgia, and left bereft of that in this movie. I think it exposed his weaknesses in other parts of storytelling. Also, this is the finale of not just a 3-movie trilogy, but a 9-movie saga. And I would say one of my biggest gripes of it is it doesn't feel like the end, which is fine. Like, the Star Wars universe will go on, but when it's all said and done, you need to make this a cathartic, tie a bow on it. This is the end of this story, and it never really got there. But I feel like sometimes that has a lot to do with his inability to, he loves his mystery boxes and his little things, but then at some point you gotta answer the questions. You gotta open the hatch. You gotta give me something. And there were so many little, I don't know, there was a lot of just like doing things for the sake of doing them with no real plot purpose, and a lot of like Chekhov's guns that never got fired. There's one like really egregious thing where there's a moment in the movie where someone almost says something, but then they don't. And then someone says something about the fact that they didn't do it. And then someone later says something about the fact that they didn't do it.
We already said they're going to be spoilers. Why are we being this obtuse about this?
Okay. So they're spoilers. Ben in his own right is a whole conversation that this trilogy never figured out. They never cracked the code on Finn after his initial introduction, and I feel real bad for that character and for John Boyega. But there is a sequence where everyone thinks they're going to die. Obviously, it's in the first like 30 minutes of the movie. No one's going to die, but they all think they're going to die. And Finn makes a comment to Rey, like, I never told you that. And then gets cut off. And then Rey's like, what were you going to tell me? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you later. And then later, Poe's like, what were you going to tell her? You still on this again? And then like someone else mentions it again. And let me tell you what never happens in the entire movie. Motherfucker never tells anybody what he was going to say to her. Never comes up again. Never gets mentioned. Yeah. That kind of stuff it literally drives me up the wall. Not that it's, you can leave mysteries and stuff like that, but you don't, if you're going to show the gun and talk about the gun and do them, then at some point someone has to shoot the gun. Like, if he had just said it that one time and then she maybe mentioned of it and then you're done with it, that's fine. But if you keep calling attention to it, and then don't resolve it, that's just bad storytelling.
But I mean, we all know what he was going to say.
Do we?
Sure we do.
All right.
I mean, what else would he say?
I don't know, because at this point, Finn's had, at any given point, 4 love interests, all of which were shoehorned at the best because they didn't know what else to do with Finn. Because it's him and Rey, and then him and Rose, and then also possibly him and Poe. And then in the last movie, he magically finds the one other black person in all of the Star Wars universe other than Lando and hits it off with her. And they go off on a suicide mission together. So,
well, I mean, you're not wrong. I guess, so my... You know, reading all the reviews and stuff like that, if we want to start digging into a bunch of the stuff, the thing that really gets me is I think there's this romanticized idea about how buttoned down and really good the original trilogy was.
Yeah, I won't come to that defense. They are clunky, ridiculous fantasy movies. I get
right.
it.
It's amazing, right? I mean, yeah. It starts out with we've hidden the children of one of the most powerful men in the entire galaxy from him. One of them very well hidden on a completely different planet, changed her name and everything. The other one we gave to his only living relatives to grow up in the same place where he was born, and we didn't even bother to change his last name, and we're going to assume that he didn't find him for 17 years? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's the basis of the Star Wars, the original Star Wars, the movie we all love, the movie that me and Iggy at least have tattooed on us. I don't know if you've got a Star Wars tattoo.
I don't, but
days. Yeah, that's it. So to sit there and be like, this movie doesn't live up to the Star Wars of my childhood that I grew up with, it's like, it for sure does, man. Like, yeah. They definitely live up to that standard. Now, Empire is a fantastic movie, but I mean, they're all just really, really fun, and they're really good. They're not going to be the best movie ever. And
no, it is funny that you mentioned fun, because that is one other thing that I'll say. Like, I don't want to sit here and just talk about things that I didn't like about the movie all day, but I will say this one was not even a little bit funny for the most part. I mean, compared to the other two, like, when you have to have C-3PO do almost all the comedy heavy lifting of the movie,
oh man,
you've done a poor job of writing it to be.
But
He does a good job of it, but like, C-3PO can't be the only guy cracking wise in the movie, even if it's inadvertent.
We don't have Harrison Ford, right? Like, there's no, I like all of the actors. Oscar Isaac, I think, can hold his own against Harrison Ford if we're talking actors, but there's no character like Han Solo.
Yeah.
To do the wisecracking, right? Poe Dameron is a totally different character than Han Solo. Certainly by this point in time, he might have been able to get away with it in The Force Awakens, but after Last Jedi, his character is completely different. So he can't be wisecracking.
I mean, you say that, but then, and this goes into a much bigger conversation of like the disparity between things Last Jedi did and how much work this movie felt like it needed to do to undo most of it. And this also ties into the larger thing of, like, I think one of the biggest weaknesses of this trilogy, other than the fact that it clearly wasn't written as one coherent story. When they started, they obviously didn't know where they were going, nor did they have a middle, or they had very little in store other than we're going to make 3 Star Wars movies, is that the 3 main characters don't have really steady, coherent, like, character arcs. They have glimpses of them. They have moments of them. But I think Finn is easily the one who's the least served by the story. Like, once he's introduced and does his thing, they never really know what to do with him after that. They don't ever really delve into the what it was like to be a stormtrooper and now be on the rebellion. They use it as a mention, like, at who he is, but they don't really, he doesn't get to do a ton. He gets sent off on the weird MacGuffin mission that means nothing in the second movie. And then this one, he's just another one person along for the ride. Poe is just a cool hotshot pilot in the first movie. In the second movie, he has a really probably the most fascinating character arc of the story about learning what it means to be a leader, and he does all this whole thing. And then this one, it's like they totally forgot that whole storyline, and then they have to shoehorn in, I think, in reference to like the Han Solo thing, oh, by the way, he used to be a spice runner, he's probably made the Kessel Run before, kind of thing. And then, but don't really, doesn't pay off in any way. They just like, oh, he secretly was a bad guy and now he's a good guy, and they don't ever really play up that, you know, arc he went through the second one. And then Rey's arc has an arc, but it's wildly because her backstory got changed like 3 times in 3 movies. I don't know.
Did it?
Well, I mean, like, they're very explicit in the second one about, like, your parents were nobody. Like, he is very clear about it. And this one's like, they were pretending to be nobody, but what your parents really were the descendants of the Emperor of the entire galaxy.
Right, but we also, you know, they are nobody, right? They weren't great Force users or anything like that, so there's no reason why she should have that kind of power. Because, I mean, that's really the idea of your parents were nobody. Like, his parents are somebody.
Yeah, but I feel like...
Han Solo is Han Solo, and his grandfather's Darth Vader. Like, I mean...
Yeah, but I feel like there was this theme in the second one that was like, you don't have to be the son of Darth Vader or this grand... daughter of Palpatine to, you know, change the galaxy and to inspire hope and to be a Force user. You can just be a nobody from nowhere and you can make a difference and inspire hope. And like, I feel like that was part of Luke's like kind of arc there in Last Jedi, like kind of the things that Yoda said, the little sequence with the boy, like grabbing the broom with the Force. That was this whole thing. And then in the third movie, you're like, only Jedis are Palpatines and Skywalkers. Anyone who's not one of those two people, we killed all of them. Only Palpatines and Skywalkers get to be Jedis now. No one else.
Well, but I mean, right, like,
you only get to be part of this story if you're related to one of the main characters from the first movie.
Well, but none of the other Jedi had children, right? Like, I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, but there were still lots of Jedis because, well, you know, anybody could be a Jedi.
Right, except somebody had to train you to be a Jedi. And we didn't know the Jedi Temple had records and tracked Force-sensitive children and did all of those kinds of things.
No one had to train Rey. Rey's putting the Force mind mojo on stormtroopers, and she doesn't even know what the Force is.
Yeah, it's because she's a Palpatine. That's where it comes in.
And then it all comes crashing down. I think that's one of my, and I don't mean this, I don't think it was as purposeful as, and I don't think, I like a lot of people, a lot of articles, a lot of reviews have tried to tie it to like placating the, you know, the super toxic fandom that came after The Last Jedi. And I don't think most of it was malicious or even sometimes purposeful. Cause like, I will admit, full stop, before we even get any farther, this was an impossible task. There were too many threads dangling.
Oh, yeah.
There's eight movies of lore to tie up, fan base that spans, you know, 40 years. There was no way to do this perfectly. There were ways to do it better. There was no way to do it perfectly. But at the same time, like, there are a multitude of things that are in this movie, and I feel as if they're only in this movie to be a fuck you to The Last Jedi. Like, for instance, there is an entire main character who is a main character for all of The Last Jedi in Rose, who in this movie gets like three lines and whose only new job now is basically to like stare at computer screens and tell people what are on them. She went from like literally a main name on the poster to someone who is in like three scenes and says like three lines, which was unfortunate. And, but yeah, I mean, like the Palpatine thing, whatever, fine, like that's cool. But there was just a lot of that kind of like, yeah, that was a quid of a cool idea, but that was all wrong. And we're literally going to spend half this movie undoing everything the last movie did.
Were you thinking of that while you were watching it?
I wasn't thinking about it. With Rose, I wasn't thinking about it until she had her one little like moment in the very beginning of the movie where she's on screen for like a second. So it was like one thing. But then like the second time she showed up and then immediately was off screen again, I was like, she's just not going to be in this at all. And then she shows up one more time and gets like one more line and it was over. The only time that I just kind of like groaned is when they basically just straight up are like, oh yeah, Rey's Palpatine's granddaughter. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, fine. Cool, I guess, but I feel like there was a more interesting way of doing that.
Sure. But I mean, that's the thing. So like watching it, I was never brought out of just really enjoying it, right? So like I was fully in the whole time, and that's watching the three of them back to back. So I mean, even having been sat in a movie theater for 7 hours, by the time we get to You're a Palpatine, I was fully bought in. And so I guess, you know, looking back at it from kind of where we are, it's like, okay, are there things they could have done better? Sure. You can almost say that with any movie. So it's, it doesn't take anything away from me.
No, and I don't want to harp on like, fantastic. I don't want to, I'm more concerned with like, just like the wild vacillation and like what the themes of the stories are, as opposed to like the dumb plot stuff. Cause Star Wars movies always have dumb plot stuff. Like, I think the most egregious one in this one is like, for a super, super secret place on the Outer Rim where a giant armada has been built, there sure is a ton of people who know where this planet is. Like, at first, it's like, this is a super secret that people have been searching for 30 years. But then within the course of like 48 hours, we find two different wayfinders, plus a robot and a ship and a guy, like, who literally were all on their way there and know where it's at. Like, apparently those wayfinders are literally everywhere. Someone just had to go and look for them. That kind of stuff is just like, that's Star Wars, like, dumb MacGuffin-y plot holes like that are always going to be part of that universe, and that's fine. But like, totally just trying to like, I would say one thing I thought about after I walked out of this movie is I think that this movie, more than anything, showed me that like, in a few years' time, I think people's appreciation for Endgame will go up even higher. Because while Endgame is not the greatest movie ever, like, it at least delivered every little bit of cathartic, this is the end of something that we have been building for how many ever. And part of that is there was a one single like guiding force behind all of it that said, here's where we are, here's where we're going. We can make some detours on the way, but everything has to be in service of getting from point A to point B. And it's very clear that this trilogy did not have a point B in mind when they drew out point A. So, but this one, like a lot of like the really satisfying moments had nothing to do with the resolution of this trilogy. They were more ephemeral parts of like the universe. Honestly, the moment I enjoyed probably the most is the most fan servicey moment in the entire movie. And it serves zero purpose for the entire plot or anything. And that is Chewie finally got metal. And that moment was amazing.
Man, right? My man coming in good after 30
years. Where the f*** was his metal, guys?
Right?
I mean, it sucks that we had to kill the other people who got the medal to give him one of theirs, but at the same time, got his medal.
That was good. I definitely laughed out loud at Babu Frick. Oh, he's one of my oldest friends. Like, it's like, yes, 3PO, get it. That's what I mean. I guess I went in accepting that it wasn't going to be perfect, right? There's just no way it could, and certainly no way it could for everybody. And just allowed myself to enjoy it. And I think that worked out really, really well for me. So now they say that this is the end of the Skywalker saga, right? I think that's what they've called it now, the 9 movies.
The end of the Skywalker saga, and also probably the last Star Wars movie for a while, for at least a couple years.
Yeah, so we get a break. With the way it ended, you mentioned kind of being not satisfied with the way they resolved like the full conclusion.
Yeah, if like this is the end, if we're done with the Skywalkers and this arc that begins with Anakin and ends with Rey, if like this is the full arc of this family in this era in the history of like the Empire and the Force, it was not a satisfying like conclusion to shut the door on the Skywalkers.
Well, that's what I'm wondering then, with Rey not being a Skywalker.
No, she is 100% a Skywalker now. I don't know if they somehow painted themselves into that corner by deciding to make her not a Skywalker and then maybe one and not one. And then they also named the movie Rise of Skywalker, and no one who really has that name survives the movie. So I don't know.
Right. Right.
So she's Skywalker now.
Why is she Skywalker now?
Because she changed her name. She calls herself Rey Skywalker now. The last scene of the movie where the lady walks up and it's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Rey Skywalker. And then she stares off at the two sons of Tatooine.
Oh, yeah. That screws up my whole question. Since she's not a Skywalker, do we get her as the focal point moving forward? But
also, is she going to use an old moisture farm to train new Jedis? Or are the Jedis really over? Is she save the world from the Emperor and say, nah, we're done with the Force now?
Not done with the Force. She goes gray, right?
Yeah, but she moves out to the middle of the desert.
Well, yeah. That's where you train good people, obviously, Tyler. Tatooine is the center.
Listen, I don't know if you know this, son. It's really hard to find people who live on moisture farms out of Tatooine.
Apparently, Darth Vader couldn't find anybody who lived on a moisture farm on Tatooine. No, so, I mean, where do you think they go? Because they're going to make more Star Wars movies, right? They're going to rest on collecting Galaxy's Edge for the next couple of years.
As much as I enjoyed the EU's filling in all the gaps between movies and various extra characters and them going on to do stuff, and like the EU definitely revolved around the Skywalkers for many, many years and their children and all that kind of stuff, I think it is time, not unlike Star Trek has fallen into this rut of like, we can only tell stories that happened between this year and this year, even if that means retconning things over and over again. Like, just use this world, use this universe, and go out and tell. Like, I know you haven't seen it yet, but I think that's one of the advantages of The Mandalorian. Like, The Mandalorian has mentions to characters in the greater universe, but it is a very simple story about very simple people out on the fringes, and you don't have to tie into anything, Baby Yoda aside. Like, it's just a story that's being told, and it's very simple, and it doesn't feel the need to tie itself to, like, 15 different plot threads over spanning the last 40 years. It's just telling its story. And I think that's one of the reasons it's been very successful. Now, there are some people who have complained it's too simple or nothing's happening, but like, I think that's why it works. Also, the whole tone of it is this classic Western samurai flick that's very minimalist on there is a person and a goal in mind and they're single, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
oh yeah. Well, I mean, you could look at the original Star Wars is a classic Western plot line, right? You got a bad guy, you got someone running away from him, you got a damsel in distress. I mean, all of the spaghetti Western plot points are there, and you get a big showdown between the, you know, the bad guy and the trainer of the young up-and-coming guy. I mean, it's got all of it right in there, just set in space is all. So I think Western storylines definitely work. What about a, we love trilogies in this world, what about a Darth Bane trilogy?
I think that would be interesting. I feel like they have to go quite a ways backwards or quite a ways forwards. Or maybe they even, you know, delve into, you know, a Mandalorian story. And the problem is some of these things have already been done so well. Like the Clone Wars told those stories on the fringes of the prequel trilogy. You know, Mandalorian's telling an interesting post, you know, Return of the Jedi world. But I feel like if you try to wedge it in between, if you try to pull in too much, like, nods to established canon, you tie yourself down.
Well, and it, you know, if the Skywalker saga is truly done, we stop making movies that would reference it. Yeah. I think, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, you say that, but I don't know that they're physically capable of not doing that. That's like saying that Marvel's going to stop doing post-credit teasers that introduce 15 new characters every movie.
Right. But I mean, as much gruff as Solo got, like, it does a pretty good job of, yeah, here's something that exists in this world, but it doesn't have anything to, you know, doesn't really have anything to do with that part.
Yeah, the biggest part with problem with Solo is it took really well-established characters and changed them in people's minds. I think that's why Rogue One survives. Like, it has huge hooks and story hooks and ties into the greater narrative.
Right.
It doesn't affect the greater narrative in any way, shape, or form. It's just like, here's a thing that, hey, remember that one thing that happened? It was only able to happen because of this thing that happened that was totally unrelated. Let's watch that story.
Right.
And that was awesome. Like, I love Rogue One. Like, Rogue One was really cool. And, like, you were able to tie in little bits and pieces here, but it didn't change anything about the world that we already knew. So I don't know. I don't know where they go from here. I'm curious to see. I mean, when it's all said
about Revan, right? Keanu Reeves doing a...
That would be interesting. Going
on series or going, Revan story?
Going, doing some Knights of the Old Republic, going back and hit time, you know, in the Star Wars universe. I don't know. I'm curious to see it. My only concern about going back in time in the Star Wars universe is you run a big risk, especially in a live action movie, if you set it somewhere where there's a ton of Jedi. Because if that's one thing that's been nebulously, I don't know, it opens itself up to bad storytelling when you have these magical space wizards who can, depending on the version of the story you're telling, do literally anything from, you know, live forever and build a giant underground cult that builds giant... Also, just as an aside, stop sticking cannons that can blow up planets on literally everything. We went from Death Star to the Death Star 2 to an entire planet that's basically a Death Star.
Starkiller base, yeah.
To now an entire fleet of ships, each of which has its own Death Star, like, mounted on the bottom.
Yeah.
Also, maybe learn that when you build giant planet blowing up missiles, they're super susceptible to just being slightly bumped into and your entire ship blows up. Can one Star Wars movie not have a thing in it that blows up planets?
Sure. The Phantom Menace.
Fair enough. But anyway, so I just think once you throw those, because that's another thing that there was, the Force was very simple, didn't do a ton, and was cool in the first trilogy. The prequel trilogy, they tried to make it too scientific, and they brought in midichlorians and tried to, like, regiment it and make it this whole thing. And then this one, now it literally just does whatever it needs to move the plot forward to the point where we have this super... There was the, like, I think the connection between Rey and Kylo is one of the coolest things in the whole trilogy, and it was really well done in The Last Jedi. On this one, I still really liked it, except when all of a sudden shit just started traveling magically from one place to another whenever they were talking to each other, to the point where it becomes the plot entirely hinges on their ability to, like, magically teleport things to each other through their connection. That was interesting, because now the Force can literally do everything. And then, but then their connection is also the reason Palpatine is, who has been basically dead for 30 years, is now all of a sudden more powerful than ever. I just, like, that whole chunk of stuff that just hinged on, yeah, the Force can do what we say it can because it's the Force, like, got a little out of hand there towards the end of that movie.
Well, it got a little hand-to-hand, actually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Force Ghost just, like, straight up catching things that are being tossed into fires and throwing them back. I mean, like, there was a lot happening. The Force Ghost got real damn powerful in this movie, and the Force did a lot of crazy stuff in this movie.
It's true.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to earn that rather than just be like, no, the Force can do this now.
The crazy thing is we know you don't really get what the Force can do in the original trilogy because...
Not at all. Because
there's only a couple people that can do it.
There's only two or three people in the entire original trilogy who have full command of the Force and they never really have to use it.
Right, because they don't need to use it against anybody because they can just kill them with basic use of the Force, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, Vader just like, I don't like what you're saying, choke. And then you get a couple of cool lightsaber battles. But then you really start to see, say what you want. I rewatched The Phantom Menace and the Darth Maul, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Qui-Gon Jinn lightsaber fights. Amazing. And you got Duel of the Fates going on. Like, it is absolutely picture perfect. And you see a lot more of the Force in that fight than you do in any fight in the original trilogy.
Yeah, you see Force. Easily. You see Force jumps and flips and spins. You see a lot of really cool
right. stuff.
I still get flack for this from everyone, but this has been talked about ad nauseum on various Project Nerd platforms over the years. I still think The Phantom Menace is the best of the three prequel movies because I think the other two are that bad. But
well, going back and looking at them, I think three is better overall. It just lets itself so much down with that Darth Vader scene at the end. And I think that the problem is the Anakin Skywalker that Hayden Christensen was given to play is not someone who would become Darth Vader, right? Like,
that's fair.
He's not a good representation of Anakin Skywalker who would become Darth Vader. So when you get the Darth Vader at the end of Revenge of the Sith, it's like, oh, it's such a letdown, especially now when you can compare it to the Darth Vader that you get at the end of Rogue One. That's what I wanted, right? I wanted the first time you see Darth Vader to be a dimly lit hallway that you can't see anything, that's full of smoke, and all of a sudden there's just a red
beam
and then he glides out,
murders and then, everyone.
Right. Just absolute sheer destruction from the moment that blade pops out till the moment it's done. You're like, oh shit. But we don't get that at the end of three, and that's the only knock I have on it, is just like it hurts.
Yeah. Everyone I think can agree that the second one is the worst of all the Star Wars movies. And it's not close. I think the first one is the clearest one that, like, it has its problems, but it's the clearest one that there was an idea, and an audacious idea, but there was an idea in mind and they went about doing it. Some of the minutiae of it was terrible, but there was a very clear story, a very clear beginning, middle, and end. Like, there was somewhere we were moving towards. Whereas the other two just kind of got bogged down in, like, we have to get to the place where there's Darth Vader. Like, how do we get there as fastly and as clunkily as possible with the worst dialogue that we could possibly write. So
sure. Are any of the prequel trilogy better than the sequel trilogy?
No.
Any of the sequel trilogy better than the original trilogy?
So that's a really tough question.
Does Last Jedi get above Return of the Jedi? Because I'm guessing that would be...
Because
you're 5, 4, and 6, right?
I'm definitely 5, 4, and 6.
Right, okay.
I would say that in just like pure cinematic, like this is a movie being told visually, narratively, character-wise. You know what? I would say no, but it's really close. And the only reason I would say no is, for as much as there are things in The Last Jedi I really like a lot, the one concession I will make to people who hate that movie is the entire Canto Blight storyline is just terrible. Like, it serves very little purpose. That's a lie. It definitely serves a purpose thematically. With, like,
I was gonna say, it's poorly done, but I think
it definitely serves a purpose.
It has a very important purpose.
It has a very important purpose in, like, setting this conflict in context with the rest of the universe, and like, it's a little heavy-handed with its have and have not kind of message, but it definitely, it's just poorly written, and it serves, it's the ultimate MacGuffin when, like, everything they go through serves literally zero purpose in the end. Like, it all comes down to nothing to do with that. So, but I would say Last Jedi still has a pretty coherent, like, not Last Jedi, the Return of the Jedi still has has a very clear, like, through line. Like, there's nothing going on there that's completely out of the realm of possibility. I don't know. I don't know that I could put any of the three.
A group of forest bears being the key to infiltrating the base.
It's a stretch.
You gotta take some belief there. Yeah,
it's a stretch. That's fair, but no more than we're going to escape this super advanced casino planet that is run by and frequented by some of the most amazing ship designers and, like, like the entire industrial military complex, and our secret plan for getting it out of it is these alien race horses.
Which we then
bring back in the third movie is like, oh look, alien race horses again. I don't know. There's a lot happening in all. Like, it's Star Wars. It's silly. It's weird.
Right. It's supposed to be dumb right. stuff.
And I don't know that you can put any of the new three above any of the original three. And the only reason I would say that is I personally believe Last Jedi is the best of the new three, but it still has its problems. And then one and three rely too much on the original trilogy to be. They're not original enough to be better than the originals. The Force Awakens is literally just A New Hope with a nice can of paint on it and new characters. Like, it's, and it works. It's a cool reintroduction, and like using that narrative structure works really well as like a full circle sort of thing. But when it's all said and done, like, they did not do anything other than let's just explain the New Hope, the plot of A New Hope to someone, and then have them write a new movie about that.
Right.
It's very much that, which works. And it worked really well as a first movie. My concern is that JJ just tried to do the same thing again in the third one, and it doesn't work when you're wrapping the story. We all know where we're at now, JJ. You don't have to reintroduce us to the world.
Well, and I think it would have worked if they would have done all three movies at once, right? You're 100% right. There's a problem that they didn't know where they were going to go after The Force Awakens, which is weird because it's not like they didn't think The Force Awakens was going to make literally all of the money. And so they knew they were going to make another one. So I don't know why we didn't
also
have
like
already figured out.
I also don't understand anyone, like, apparently all these people like the J.J. Abrams stuff being mad about The Last Jedi or the actors and stuff. It's like, well, you guys didn't tell him what to do. Like, you gave him free reign and said, make a movie. And he did what he wanted. He made a good movie. Like, if you wanted something in specific, or you wanted certain plot points covered or something, like, you need to like say, make that clear. And you clearly didn't.
Right. It'd be like after, you know, when they gave the Harry Potter series over to Alfonso Cuarón for one movie, and they're like, make whatever movie you want to make, man. Oh, but we forgot to tell you it had to be based on this book, and you get this amazing Alfonso Cuarón movie, but it's not a Harry Potter movie. But they did a good job. They said, here is what you need to do. Here's the story. Do it your way. And I think if they had done that with Rain, you'd get an even better Last Jedi than you got. And
a better trilogy
for it.
They clearly needed a Kevin Feige. Who they have. They have a Dave Filoni. Like, Dave Filoni has been running this narrative structure through all of the animated series, and now he's doing it for The Mandalorian. And like, there are people at LucasArts who are in charge of like the lore and making sure that
they've got all the guys doing all the books and what's real and what's not real.
This all exists. Like, this infrastructure exists, but they made these movies and brought JJ on, and then just kind of like, I feel like they left one of the most beloved and powerful and, you know, lucrative things up to just chance. Like, let's just flip a coin three times and hope it comes up heads all three times, when they had the ability to like do it better. Right. And on the upside, I hope that they learn from this and like going forward, like everything else they do in Star Wars, more coherent theme to it. But the fact that they made a trilogy to end a trilogy of trilogies, and this is the final chapter in a giant, and didn't have it all at least outlined before they started, is mind-boggling to me.
Right. It'd be interesting to get some behind the scenes stuff. I'm sure it'll never come out. Since it's owned by Disney now, you're never going to find out what happened and why they didn't have them storyboarded, or if they did and it just didn't get done, or what. But it would be fascinating to talk to somebody, to, you know, bump into somebody in Orlando at a bar and just start buying them drinks and be able to get that answer totally off the record. I'll never tell anybody, I swear to God. We can get 18 lawyers down here. I'll sign a million NDAs right now. But I want to know the answer to these questions.
And here's the thing. Even if they had planned it out better, this was an almost impossible landing to stick perfectly. I feel like it would not have been hard to have done it better than this.
Do you think your opinion changes in time? 30 years from now, when we're sitting around talking, are we going to be looking back at these movies like, damn, they are really good. They're super fun. And they're still a series of movies that I show to everybody that's important to me.
I mean, I will definitely always enjoy The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. It's going to take some time for me to be able to make a definitive decision on The Rise of Skywalker, but it has the misfortune of having to be the last one as well. If this was like the middle one, if this was in the place of The Last Jedi, I guess this is the movie in the middle that got us to the end, I would be significantly more forgiving of a lot of this stuff. But since this is the end, it's just kind of like, I needed more than that. I needed something better than that. It makes me sad that it's not better than it is.
So
here's the thing. That's not to say that it's bad. It's
not bad.
It's not offensively bad. Like, there are movies I have seen that like upset me at how bad they are. This is not Spider-Man 3, you know, but it's not good. It's fine. It is perfectly adequate.
Right. So then it's closer to the prequels than the original.
Whew. No, because those are three all bad. Like, those are actually offensively bad. Like, I have grown to hate them less with time.
Sure.
And hate's a strong word. I have grown less disdainful of them as time has gone on, but I've grown less disdainful of them by not watching them ever again. Like, I feel like if I sat down and rewatched the three of them, I might actually dislike them more now, but I will subsist entirely off of just remembering what happened in those movies and short clips of the good parts, or obviously prequel memes, lots and lots and lots of prequel memes. Mm-hmm. Like, hello there. That's never going to not be funny. But I actually kind of scared. I don't know that I could make it through any of the three of them. Like, if I had to sit down and do it, I don't know that I could make it. Like, I don't know if I could sit and actually watch them.
So after, I'll tell you this, so we went and saw the movies Wednesday night. So Wednesday night to Tuesday morning, and it turned into a very late morning because I live in London. You have to take public transportation everywhere, and there is no public transportation at 2:45 in the morning. Trains are shut down, no subway, no underground. There's a bus, but the bus, it would have taken me three buses to get from where the movie theater was to my home, and it would have been 2 hours and 45 minutes. So we ended up taking an Uber, but then we had to wait for an Uber. And so it was about 4:15 by the time I got home, dead to the world all day Thursday. But Thursday night, my wife and I are like, man, we're in a Star Wars Jones. We're like, this is amazing. We had talked to Iggy. Iggy rewatched all of the movies leading up to this one. So he and the kids, they sat down, they watched all of the movies in order, including Solo, including Rogue One, whole gambit. And so I was like, mentioned that they had done that, and she's like, oh, we should do that. So we put in Phantom Menace. I never bought them on Blu-ray, so I only have them on DVD. And the reason is because I wanted the original versions, because the DVDs have the 77, 80, and 83 releases, theatrical releases of the original trilogy, but the Blu-rays don't. So I never bought any of the old movies on Blu-ray. I put it in, I'm like, man, this looks bad, because I don't know if you remember 1999 DVD special effects. Not super good, especially compared to watching Blu-rays. But we're watching it, and I'm enjoying it. And sure enough, like, hour into it, my wife kind of gives a shake and then looks up at me like, uh-oh, I fell asleep. And I'm like, I know you fell asleep. Okay, what happened? So I caught her up on what happened again. And then about a half hour later, I get this real soft snoring next to me. Like, she's back out. So she couldn't make it through it either. But I watched the whole thing. And other than the midichlorians, I think that's a fine movie.
I think
it's a good movie. I'll even say good movie. I'm okay with that. And I enjoyed rewatching it.
Are there any of the prequels that are better than any of the six movies chronologically?
No. I was going to say, maybe you could get one. Might be able to get Phantom Menace or Revenge of the Sith over Solo. If you include that, but
went really hard and like tilt your head to the side, you can.
It's so tough.
Solo is pretty not great, but I blame that more on trying to mess with an established character / changing directors halfway through.
I mean, I'll tell you what. Solo is better solely for Donald Glover's Lando.
Yeah.
I mean, it just blows everything that you get from one or three out of the water. And I love Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Donald Glover as Lando is just absolutely fantastic. But yeah, so I mean, we watched one. We'll probably watch... We might try and watch 2 and 3 leading up to the holiday.
I am curious to see if you can make it through 2, because it's real bad.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. Have you ever watched The Clone Wars or any of those, or Rebels or Resistance or any of those?
I have watched part of Clone Wars. I didn't get all the way through it. Before we moved it, it was on Netflix before the Disney Plus came out, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'd started it and made it through a good chunk of that. I really liked, you got into the Ventress stuff. And then I also read Dark Disciple with her and a Jedi. They make a Jedi partner up with her to try to find Darth Maul. I got to reread that book apparently, but I really liked her character. And so I was really interested in that book. And so I switched to reading that book and then forgot to go back to finish Clone Wars. So in April, when I have Disney Plus, I will probably watch all of the Star Wars stuff on there.
Yeah, I would definitely, if you jones in for your Star Wars fix, but don't want to necessarily do the prequels, Clone Wars and Rebels are worth a watch.
I'll check, and they might still be available to me here in the UK. Yeah, UK Netflix or Prime, maybe. But I have been getting my Star Wars fix with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I put about 16 hours into that. I enjoy that so far, at least. It's like we were talking about. It's a story in that world, but it's not the main story, and none of the main characters and people that are just cursory mentioned other places, and that's about it. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't want to come out thinking like I hate this and I'm going to go angry tweet at anyone who was in it or anything like that. Like, it was perfectly fine. I'm glad I saw it. Glad I finally got closure on the series, but I do wish it had been better. It's definitely the worst of the three new movies, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I definitely would put The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi way above this movie.
Watching them back to back in order, I think you're probably right. I need to see this one more. I mean, like I said, I saw Force Awakens like four or five times in the first 2 weeks it came out because it hit at the holidays. And so I saw it when it came out. We went home. This was when we were still living in the States. We went down to Florida and saw it with Laura's family, saw it with my family, saw it by ourselves in Florida. And then when we came back to, well, that was Arkansas. At the time we came back to Arkansas, we saw it again with friends. So, I mean, I saw it super bunch right away. Last Jedi I saw a bunch of times. So I need to see this one more in the theater and see how I feel about it then to give a definitive ranking. But it's probably, the other two are probably better. I don't like saying it's the worst. The other two are probably better.
It's the weakest of the three.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Fair enough.
I just like to be positive, buddy.
I love it. I know you do, bud. Well, I'm sorry if this was a downer for anyone, but you guys got your TNA fix for the holidays. You get to go home and hopefully have the same argument with family members who either liked it or disliked it. I mean, let us know in the comments if you're getting to us from Facebook or the website. Let us know what you think of it. Tell us how wrong I am for not liking this movie or vice versa. But
you said you liked it.
I did. I'm glad I saw it.
Oh, Tyler, you're killing me, bud.
It's not very good. It has some really amazing moments in it, though. I will say that.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I'm going to stand by it.
I'm not going to say that it's not bad, but it's also not good. It is the definition of...
It was a movie. Tyler saw a movie.
It is the optimal replacement player. Like, it is a zero WAR. Like, it is exactly the middle of... It's not prequel good, bad. It's not Last Jedi good, but it is right there. It's not Return of the Jedi, but it's also not Attack of the Clones. It's somewhere right in the middle, in the exact middle of those. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't put it. It was fine. It was perfectly fine.
Okay, to end on something better, what are you doing for Christmas, bud?
Not a ton. My mother, well, a good chunk of my family is going to be in California because my sister lives in California, my brother lives there. I couldn't get off work long enough to fly to California without basically having to turn around and come right back. So my mother's going to be in California. My dad and stepmom are going to be elsewhere. So I will probably go to one of my cousin's houses, but just for the day because of work. I work a lot this time of year. So we do have some fun plans for like New Year's. We're going to have a big New Year's party game night thing. That'll be pretty cool, but nothing super crazy for Christmas.
Nice. The same thing. I live in a country by myself now. Well, with my wife. We live in a country by ourselves and 15 million other people. So they do Christmas dinner out is a really big thing here.
Okay.
Like, so in the States, it's always been
family dinner at
somewhere. We dinner at home, right? Yeah. I mean, right. You open presents, you do a big breakfast after presents, and then, you know, you play with your stuff all day and you hang out with family and
you have Christmas dinner.
And then you have Christmas dinner, right? But they do Christmas dinner out here and out at like the pub. I mean, not like, you know, fancy dinner.
Okay.
But the pub does like, you know, they do like a set menu and you pick what you want with your starter and your main, and then you get a dessert.
Do a nice Christmas pudding.
Yep, good Christmas pud. We're new to all this, so we don't know. We've been invited to a couple people's house, like, don't be alone on Christmas. We're like, we're not. We got each other and a cat. We're fine. So, I mean, you know, we'll get up and we'll open presents and we'll, you know, FaceTime with family and stuff like that while we do it. And yeah, I think that's the plan. We were talking about our gift to each other being either a trip to the north, so go see some stuff up in the north of the island, or we might get another cat. So
that's
an option too. Yeah.
Well, make sure to go north before you need to have extra papers to do it.
We don't need extra papers.
I know, you know, you already have
got an American passport. I'm good.
I can go wherever I want. Listen, I'm just saying, Scotland might not be long for the UK.
They've been dealing with that.
How interesting was
like a millennia.
So as someone who someone now who got to witness the 2016 election firsthand and the most recent parliamentary election firsthand, which one was more shocking/wild?
Shocking/wild. I mean, the 2016 Trump, for sure. election, yeah. They've done this before here.
Yeah.
It was just surprising that they did it again.
That
like
that the Liberals somehow managed to
completely screw it up.
Take the most winnable history in the last 20 years in the UK and still just
lose it massively. Yeah. No, it's amazing. But I mean, the weird thing is, you know, it feels more salient here because I've got more friends who aren't from the UK.
Yeah.
In academia, there's lots of people from the continent that work here. And so
you're all able to have an outsider's perspective on it.
Well, and they have a very real outsider's perspective because they're not here on visas or anything like that. They're just
part of the EU.
They're working because we're part of the EU, and right, all of that might change drastically sometime in the near future. So it felt a little more salient, I guess, this time around.
Yeah,
mostly because I think it was less unexpected. You know,
that's fair.
So we'll do some stuff. We'll have some fun. Play some video games. You gonna play any video games yet?
I should take some time. I have a backlog that's just insanely long. I still need to get Fallen Order. I still need to sit down and play all the way through Outer Worlds. I've only played a little bit of it. I probably will get Death Stranding at some point. I got a lot of board
games. That's a long story time.
I know. I got a lot of board games too this time of year that I want to play. I've been playing a lot of board games lately. A lot of time that I would spend, I mean, I love board games and I go on my like board game retreat, you know, twice a year, but like,
yep.
Got a group of friends here in town where we've been trying to board game more often. So
nice.
Find some really good board games. And that's the new good, expansion buddy. To Root just came out, and I really like that game. So well, this has been our Star Wars spoiler filled extravaganza featuring Tyler and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully if you listened all the way through this, you did see the movie. Because we obviously didn't really talk about the plot of the movie even a little bit. We just talked about moments of it. So a lot of this probably made literal to no sense if you didn't see the movie. But that is your own fault. We were very clear from the get-go.
Very clear.
But, as always, thank you for listening to the Nerdcast coming at you live from Project Nerd. If you've got some time, go on the website, listen to other podcasts that we have. We have a lot of amazing ones. Leave some comments, read some articles. We got a lot of those. A lot of end-of-the-year lists right now, a lot of best of this and best of that. Also, it's the end of the decade, so a lot of the best of the decade stuff out there. You know, pick up some merch, you know, buy some cool, and it's a little late for Christmas presents, but you can get some New Year's presents for some people. That'd be cool.
I like it. That's it. You guys have a very Merry Christmas.
Have a very Merry Christmas. And if you don't hear from us again, have a very Happy New Year as well. I don't know that
happy
we'll
and safe. Yeah, I don't
but
know.
We have another episode between now
this
and
time of year, everything gets all screwed.
We have a tendency to go on hiatus this time of year, don't we? So
yeah.
Maybe
we had to have our Star Wars episode.
We had to have our Star Wars episode. So you may not hear from us again until the new year. So if so, have a wonderful end to 2019. Hopefully 2020 will be better.
There we go.
Later, guys.
Hey, Pro Nerds. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.